There's a war on America's Christian heritage and even a war on America as founded. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb and our guest is Stephen McDowell, who's written books on this subject. In fact, he wrote a book with his partner, Mark Belisles, on America's providential history. And Stephen McDowell is the president of Providence Foundation. Their website is providencefoundation.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Stephen McDowell, it's great to talk with you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jerry.
And by the way, I'm now the executive director for Coral Ridge Ministries of the Providence Forum. And, of course, you're the president of Providence Foundation. And there's probably some Providence Institute or something out there as well somewhere.
Well, that's a good name.
It is indeed. Well, listen, let's get right to it, this war on America's Christian heritage. And I want to begin by having you define the word providence and how it meant something to America's founders. And then we'll go up to today's conflict.
Well, providence is a term that means God superintending care over his creation. God not only created all things, but he's actively involved in supporting, sustaining, and directing things. And the founders of America spoke of the providence of God all the time because they believed that God was actively involved not only in the lives of individuals, but also in the life of nations, and in particular, in the birth, growth, and development of the United States of America. So they attributed the birth of this unique nation to the providence of God.
Now, when we talk about God, I assume we are talking about the God who has revealed himself in the Scriptures, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God, but three different persons.
Exactly. When the founders of America, actually, when they used the term religion, they meant Christianity, in particular Protestant Christianity. And so God to them was the God that specific revelation of God in the Holy Scriptures.
Okay, this is being recorded in the year of our Lord, 2021, in August. And I bring that up because not only is there a war on America's Christian heritage, which a lot of people won't recognize, but number two, there's even a war on America as founded. So maybe some of those people would even say, well, I don't care if they were all Christians. The fact is it was a terrible beginning and we need to, you know, tear it all down and, you know, create some sort of Marxist utopia or something like that.
Well, of course, you know, our nation is dated in our covenant founding document, the Declaration of Independence, in the year of our Lord, the birth of Christ, and our Constitution dates it to our independence that had begun 13 years earlier in 1776. But, you know, why does it matter that we were founded by a group of people who were Christians who looked to the Bible as the source of their personal and civil life? It's because the principles that they operated upon gave birth to the freest, the most prosperous, the most just nation the world had ever seen. Not perfect by any means, but no nation was an exceptional nation. That term, Alexis de Tocqueville, the French political philosopher, and so many others, defined America as an exceptional nation. There was none like it, and it was exceptional not because the people themselves had any inherent value, but it's the ideas that they built the nation upon, the concepts of the value of the individual, freedom of worship, the opportunity to labor and benefit from the fruit of your labor, freedom to elect representatives, to express your ideas, to own property and get ideas to start new businesses and create wealth. These were unique. This is what made America exceptional. Those ideas advanced and helped elevate all people, including those that came over as enslaved, including women and everything else. It was those Christian ideas that prevailed and brought advancement to all people.
Okay, so I was going to ask you about, well, what about the slaves and the mistreatment of Indians? I mean, obviously, such treatment was sub-Christian, but I want you to address it.
Well, you know, to the modern world presents America's founders as the origin of originated slavery. They were, you know, these evil men, and America was built upon that concept, which is just untrue. Slavery had existed in the world since the fall of man. Every nation, every culture enslaved one another, and it was the founders of America who began to take the first steps in history to actually end this evil institution after we gained independence. When we had the freedom to do so, that we began to pass anti-slavery laws. Half the states outlawed slavery. Many people began to that had inherited slaves freed them. So those many of those that had lived in the South, first federal anti-piece of slavery legislation George Washington signed forbidding slavery in the Northwest Territory. So the truth of the matter is, it was the Americans, way before England, because of the influence of Christianity, ended the slave trade decades later, America had taken steps to do that, the first nation in history. So could we have done it faster? Well, sure, looking back on it, but to say America, they did nothing, is just to not understand true history.
All right, let's take a specific example. As I understand it, the founders said in the Constitution itself, the first draft, well, not just the first draft, but its first iteration officially as the Constitution, that within 20 years of this going into effect or being ratified, within 20 years, the slave trade will be abolished. And as you point out, as you just pointed out a moment ago, that was before William Wilberforce's successful Christian anti-slavery crusade. Comment on that, the abolition of the slave trade in our U.S. Constitution, written in 1787. That's fantastic, but not well known.
Yeah, and they actually ended it sooner than 20 years. It ended in about 10 years. And this was one of many examples of the civil or political action of the founders to take steps to end slavery. That's because these were mostly Christian individuals who understood that God wants all men to live in liberty. Christianity liberates men first internally and then after that externally. And so they were just acting upon their worldview, and they began to take these steps to end slavery. And even some people like Thomas Jefferson, who had slaves, he inherited slaves, he was very strongly anti-slavery. But he wrote a bill before independence around 1774 that ended the slave trade in Virginia, but the king vetoed it and said, you can't do that. So Jefferson was taking steps. His first draft of the Declaration of Independence had an anti-slavery paragraph in it that was nixed at the time. So even Jefferson recognized, you know, he said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. He understood that God's justice will come forth in a nation that violates his laws and rules. So he began to take steps and action. So most of the founders were anti-slavery. Some of them owned slaves, like George Washington and Jefferson. They inherited them. These men were anti-slavery. Washington freed his slaves in his will. Jefferson took steps to, but by the time he had the opportunity, when he was dying, to perhaps free his slaves, the laws had changed. He couldn't meet the conditions of the laws, which required economic provision for them. He didn't have the funds to do that. But the point is, they were acting upon their worldview, and it took some time, but ultimately the principles in the Declaration of Independence prevailed. We ended slavery as a nation and set the standard and the example for the world to follow. So Americans, actually, it's the opposite of what the modern 1619 Project and critical race theory people propose, that, you know, they presume that we were founded as a racist nation and so all of it's evil and we have to get rid of all of it. When you look at the truth of it, it was the American people who were leading the way in ending slavery worldwide, that it existed in every nation, every culture, every race, ever since the fall of man, for thousands and thousands of years. It was early on, even in the 1600s, that Christians in New England began to speak against slavery and prohibit it from happening. And first laws that were passed, anti-slavery laws, came out of New England in the late 1600s. So they were taking steps to deal with this, and that, certainly there was wrong that was done in early America, because there was plenty of evil that existed in the world, and that evil came with those that founded America. But those who settled the United States of America uniquely carried the Bible and the principles of the Bible with them that shaped not only their personal life and their family life, but it shaped the building of a civil society. It shaped our governmental ideas, our economic ideas, our educational ideas. And those ideas, as they were transmitted through the generations, began to bear fruit and have resulted in a gradual amelioration of mankind and the flourishing of mankind. And we're still experiencing that today. We're still having to deal with plenty of problems and other things, but it's the ideas that were uniquely part of the founding of America that we need to draw upon if we're going to ultimately overcome these difficulties.
Yes, and speaking of that, you think about just in the last year about all the different statues, historical statues that have been toppled, usually by mobs, but sometimes by town council. The town council, I can understand, at least people voted them in, but the mobs one, it's a terrible, statement about where our culture's at. How about a comment on that, and we'll close on this thought.
Well, the assault against the statues is really against assault against Western civilization, and consequently against the foundation of Western civilization, which is Christianity. So when people go and tear down a statue of Christopher Columbus, claiming he was some super racist or something, they're really attacking the opening up of the Western world to colonization from Christian Western Europe. And a lot of it is with ignorance. Like here in Virginia, I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, not far from Richmond, and there was a lot of monuments on Monument Avenue. One of those was to Matthew Fontaine Maury. Oh. And they removed his statue. I bet 1 in 1,000 people didn't even know what he did. He was a great Christian man who was one of the most significant men in the history of America and the world. He was the father of oceanography, the father of meteorology, the first person to draw the maps of the ocean currents, which saved much time and money. He was a fabulous man contributing to the advancement of society, so they just pulled his statue down. He happened to live in the South, so they didn't like him, so they pulled it down. So a lot of it is, most of that is people who don't know anything. They don't understand true history, and that's why knowledge of our true history, of America's providential history, is essential in order to preserve our great liberties. In fact, it's been the secularization of the teaching of history that has been a primary factor in the secularization of American society and culture. That's why we must once again get back to teaching the truth of our history, all of it, the good, the bad, every aspect of it, but so that we can learn these liberating principles and we can find out why tens of millions of people are still trying to flock to America's shores, because they like the fruit that comes forth from these Christian ideas.
ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. Stephen McDowell, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.